All right, welcome back. Okay, this is perfect. We're going to do something real quick. I'm going to do a couple, not necessarily housekeeping things, but a couple small blurps, and then I'm going to give you all about 10 or so minutes back at your tables before we welcome up some more leaders. And so, reminder just on a couple things. If you have any questions about membership or anything of that nature, please email us. Reminder, I said this last week. We'll say it till we're blue in the face, and people still won't email us. And then 2 months from now, they're like, what's the status of our group? And it's like, we didn't know you wanted to be in one because we never heard from you, okay? And so if you have any questions or you're like, hey, I'm not hearing from anybody, please, for the love of all things holy, email us, call us, send a beep if you know what that is. And some of you are like, what is a beep? I'm getting very old. God bless. Anyway, okay, so one thing I wanted to cover, we talked a little bit about this last week, is expectations on like meeting schedules and rhythms, and we didn't spend a ton of time on it, so what I wanted to do is touch a couple of these points real quick before we start going. Expectations of like time spent together. Two meetings a month with leaders, at minimum two meetings a month without leaders. So in your time with those leaders, that's curriculum, that's doing marriage updates, walking through certain things with them as they invest in you guys. And then on the off weeks, these two meetings without leaders, this is where we're going, hey, you're doing community without them. You're taking what they're teaching you and putting those things into practice. I would say have an expectation of meet twice a week without, or twice a month without them, but don't settle for just two times a month. One of the things that I see often with groups and assessments is they struggle to get time together because they allowed certain barriers or things to come into play that they just don't prioritize their relationships. And so groups that I think are doing really well from a relational equity side of things are groups that get 4 to 6 touch points a month. That includes the 2 touch points on the off weeks and doesn't include the touch points with leaders. And so that could literally be things like dinner on a Friday night or lunch after the service or serving together. Just don't compartmentalize, hey, I'm only meeting with these people 4 times a month. Just go, and these are new relationships. I got to invest in them. And so don't, what I would say, I kind of not categorize, but like synthesize in a way of, hey, don't think about, hey, I have friends and now I have my foundation group. Figure out how to blur those lines of how can I integrate this new set of relationships into my currently existing friends so that those friends, whether single or already married, can get to know your friends who are now in your foundation group. And so 2 times a month with leaders, 2 times a month without leaders. When we say doing community, we are talking about answering some of those questions of how have you fed your soul, how have you fed your flesh, how have you fed others, and using that time to get updates. The biggest thing I try and encourage groups with is, man, what does it look like to follow up and not catch up? What I mean by that is you shared something yesterday, and I get to follow up on it today. Whereas if you haven't seen somebody since the last meeting, you're probably seeking to catch up on the last 6 days that you haven't had any contact with one another. So let that kind of be the lens and filter you think through of how do I pursue these people? Man, I'm going to pursue them as much as I can in order to be able to follow up, not just catch up. So something I wanted to point to, when we look at Acts 2, this is something that I think helps us put good parameters and lenses around community. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are things that we should already be doing just as believers. And now you get to go, and I'm going to do that with my foundation group. I'm going to do that with these relationships that God has given me and entrusted to me and entrusted others with me. And so for you guys, I just don't want you to overcomplicate it. Like, I think sometimes we get lost in the weeds. I mean, what does it look like to now be a foundation group? And it's like, no, just start doing the same things you've been doing, or keep doing the same things you've been doing as a believer and now with these people. Don't act as if foundation group means you got to do something else outside of these things. Like, just let it be something that is just a continuation, if you will, of what you've already been doing as a believer, whether it was in your singleness or you've moved here in the last year and you've already been married for a year. Just continue to do those things and now do it with these people. Okay. On your table, there's an FAQ sheet and there's some filling in the blanks on the other side, there is a form stack or a QR code that leads you to a form stack. If you have not already filled out that form stack, please go ahead and do that right now. I'm about to give you all some table time. That form stack is something that's actually going to help us as we seek to connect with your leaders, as y'all are going into groups. What we're not trying to do is like, hey, leaders, look at all the dirty laundry of stuff that's coming into your group. But there are times where... I just think about some of the conversations that I've had pastorally recently where it's like, hey, this is a part of my past. It's like, okay, that's good. Are you okay if I go ahead and share this with your leaders? Because what's going to happen is you're gonna end up sharing your stories with your leaders. They're going to have that information no matter what. We just love the ability to be able to go, hey, can I give you a heads up? We would love for you to connect with this couple specifically as they share certain things that are a part of their life, because it gives them an ability to prepare to love on you guys, as opposed to like everybody just spilling out everything on night one and you're like, holy cow, like has anybody been walking with you? And so it's not a, hey, let me prepare you for what you're inheriting, but let me help bring you up to speed as you continue to walk with these people for the next year of your life. And so would you fill out that form stack? The next thing you're going to do, this seems very elementary, but like I said last week, we don't communicate well. You're going to spend the next 10 minutes after you finish that form stack answering these four questions. It is this easy. How old are you? Where do you live? When are you available, being what nights of the week, and what do you do for fun? This might seem like, man, this isn't a really like deep get to know you. No, this is helping you guys fill out your preference cards. And so as you're thinking about, man, how old are you? You might have gotten along with somebody and you're like, man, this is so great. We're going to be besties for the rest of our life. If they're 35 and you're 23, just realize you're in a different season of life. And so if you preference to be with one another, if you both prep each other, we're probably going to put you together, but you just need to know you're talking about a decade of time and a very different stage of life, and just need to know what you are inheriting when you commit to one another. And if you're like, man, don't necessarily want to be with a 35-year-old, it's like, all right, we'll have that conversation. And so people aren't preferencing you so that you're like, no, I really would like to be with the other 23-year-olds that are in the room. Answer these questions. This will help you tremendously. If you have any questions about how to answer these questions, just don't overthink it and then answer the questions, okay? Any questions? That's great. All right, form sack, these four questions. We'll be back in soon. So soon. I received that. Thank you. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about expectations. This is really fun. I was just telling Will and Justy, who are going to come up here in a few minutes. This, for me, I think makes the most sense to have leaders come in. And there are times where we have current foundation group participants come in and speak as well. But for y'all, if you're honest, you hear us as a staff and a team talk about these things. And you're like, yeah, of course, like y'all are supposed to talk about it that way. It's like kind of theoretical. It's a little aspirational. But then to have leaders come in and go, no, this is what this looks like. And of course, they'll affirm some of the things that we've said, but then they'll give you the real tangible, practical things of what goes on in a group. I think this is always really, really, really helpful for y'all to hear from them. And so what I want to do is kind of give a little bit of a pretense as they come up here. Expectations truly are everything. I think if you really dug in during your premarital time, you were able to get to a place where either you compromised in expectations or you were able to find yourself seeing eye to eye in expectations of walking into marriage together, or learning how to disagree in expectations. Gosh, if somebody would write a book on the art of disagreeing, you'll make literally millions of dollars and change this country. But especially within marriage, how do I look at you and go, man, I just don't agree with that, and then we still move forward and are able to move towards one another together. And so as we think about expectations, what we're going to do is go, man, what expectations to consider before committing to a group? And so as you think about what's going on in this season, just thinking, I mean, literally like the fourth quarter of this year, moving into the first and second and third quarters of next year, what's going on in my life? Do I have margin to do this? Do I have like the emotional bandwidth to take on new relationships and to invest? A lot of times couples go, man, I didn't realize there was going to be this much reading or this much processing of information in my life.
as much as we are in Foundation Grow, yes, we tried to help y'all see, like, consider this before you just jump in kind of haphazardly. And so what I want to do is, Will and Jesse, y'all can come on up here. As they come and talk through this, I want y'all to hear them articulate some of the things that they've processed with groups, as they've processed with couples. And we were just talking about they're going to follow up with a couple that they've previously led, that they are seeking to invest in your life and in your marriages and in your walks with Jesus. And it's not just one of these, like, all right, come to my house and we're going to go through these six questions tonight, and I hope you guys walk away with something practical and helpful. But it's like, no. Let's see what God has to say about how we should operate as God's man and God's woman in the context of his design for marriage, and then go out and apply those things. And so as we think about this, a couple of these, I guess they're more statements than they are questions, but as you go, man, am I ready to do that? Be really honest with yourself. And if you and your spouse are in different places in that, I mean, I just had a conversation about this 2 weeks ago, where the wife really wanted to be in a foundation group because she's new to Dallas, wanted new friends, and that was the allure of jumping in. Whereas the husband was like, I'm slammed. I don't even have margin to do something new, much less a year-long commitment. And so they're currently sifting through that of like, hey, do we back out of this thing completely? Because it's now become a point of contention in their marriage. And I'm like, okay, it's not in a bad way, but it's clear you guys didn't actually communicate where you were as you considered this commitment. And so I don't say that to like give you the heebie-jeebies and like scare you about what's going on. I just want you guys to really talk through it. Communication is everything in marriage. Talk through what you're feeling or what's going on in your heart as you consider a year-long commitment to investing in your marriage, because investments do take work. And so with that being said, do this. Tell them who you are, how long you've been at Watermark, and then why you decided to lead foundation groups. Not how many, but why. Oh, turn them on, sorry. Didn't set you up for success. God bless them.
My name's Will Buck. This is Justin. What else are we supposed to say? We've been at Watermark.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
About 11 and a half-ish years.
Yeah.
Long time.
We started leading foundation groups. It just it really helped our marriage, helped us grow together, grow more like Christ, and build our relationship with Christ and strengthen our marriage.
Mm-hmm. And we led Merge before we led foundation groups, and so that was super fun, but we felt like it was such a short time with the couples that we wanted more and like be able to like dive into life with them. And so foundation group was presented to us, and so we kind of felt like we got to know them better and could actually walk through life with them. And then even after foundation group is done, still get to have them a part of our lives.
So what I hear you saying is it's better to serve in foundation groups than Merge.
Just don't tell Lance.
I will tell Lance. This is a slight plug, and I should have done this last week. Totally not in the notes here. A lot of you have mentors. A lot of you have Merge leaders. You have 2-on-2 mentors, folks that you know have served in Reengage, whatever it may be. As you have folks that you admire, you look up to, and have loved how much they've invested in your marriage up to this point, and you're like, man, I wish they could be our leaders, that's probably an option. And so if there is somebody like that, I was just talking to somebody about this last week, and I said, hey, go ask them, like truly ask them. I think it makes sense to see, like we're always recruiting leaders, and so we're going to be doing that as long as this ministry lasts. But for you guys, I love pre-existing relationships, because what will happen is if I know Will and Justy, and they became our leaders because I had a pre-existing relationship, the rest of the group tends to start to trust them quicker because somebody already knows them. And then the growth of your group has a much different trajectory. And so if you have somebody that you're like, man, I would love to consider them being our leaders, one, let's have a conversation. And then two, let's see what that conversation could look like for you to approach them. Kind of really our only stipulation is that they're members at Watermark and they're in community. And so everything else is not negotiable, that's for sure not the right word. But there's a lot of things that are not negotiable. But let's go back to Will and Jesse. Good to see you. Gosh, I swear, one day I'm going to stay on the notes, and it's going to be so great. Okay, what are the expectations for being in a group? This is something that we think about all day and night. Man, are these people committed? Are they excited about doing this together? And are they committed to the values that come with being in a newly married community group? And so for us, I will tell you, one of the biggest things that we see as a team, as we speak to our leaders, is a lack of commitment. That it's like, think about it. The Cowboys are playing right now. Yes, they're still losing, and it's okay. But the reality is, you might have been so tempted, if you're still delusional and pull for them. We're loyal, but they are not good. If you are in a foundation group already and you normally meet at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, somebody calls you and says, hey, I got free tickets to the game. Do you want to go? I'm going to be tempted to go, right? But if I've committed to a foundation group, I got to do one of two things. I need to either go to foundation group, or I need to call my leaders and communicate with my group, asking for my commitment back. Because when you went into a group, you said, hey, I'm fully committed. And so it's not, hey, I'm not going to make it tonight. It's not, hey, sorry, we can't be there. It's, hey, would y'all allow me to be free to go and have fun at the football game? And so for us, we see a ton of lack of commitment, and it's just reorienting our priorities. And so first question I ask y'all is, what barriers to commitment do you think most groups struggle to overcome?
I think when we were talking about this, we talked about going in with a mindset of like, it's not an option to go to foundation group time. Like, it's a privilege, and just the perspective of like, that's your priority over everything else. And if you wouldn't miss it for work, then you wouldn't miss it for if you wouldn't miss work, you wouldn't miss foundation group. And I think if that's your perspective, it kind of puts everything else where it should be. We've seen it done really, really well. And then we've, like, as in, like, people called and asked for their time back, and it was received well. I think with that, you also, if you're the person doing the ask and remembering, they don't have to say yes, like, that there could be, like, conversation in that and working through that and just setting those expectations from the beginning.
Yeah, and if you're the group and someone's asking to miss, just having grace. I mean, if it's happening every time, that's different, but if it's a one-off, just have some grace towards them and be understanding. Mm-hmm. Communication's huge in foundation group, big, and marriage.
Or life.
Relationships.
It's life, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, just communicate with everyone.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We've seen, like, and done really, like, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboy reminded me, we had one guy that was really, really into baseball, like, really into it. And, like, we a Red Sox game. Like, we had it going, like, on the side, like, as a compromise for foundation group, like, hey, we're going to get through this part, and then you can check the score, and then we're going to do a little bit more. And, I mean, it was a great compromise for that one tiny situation. So I think just being open and talking and figuring it out together.
Yeah. They're still not in a good place, are they?
No. They moved to Oklahoma.
They're actually in Boston now. I'm sorry. When I think about this, you could hear that and be like, man, like, what is this mandate? And it's like, no, we're not trying to communicate a mandate. This is part of, like, just even you guys learning, like, hey, we're merging two different schedules, and then we're trying to pursue four other couples. And so I have to be really committed, because here's some of the examples that we throw for you guys to just see. It's like, hey, you want to make the group a priority. And so to Will's comment, like, you don't want to be known as the couple that always asks for their commitment back. You want to be that couple that it's like, hey, man, the Tisdales asked for their commitment back, and I don't even know the last time they weren't here. And so it's like, yeah, totally, go to the game or go do whatever. Because it is. It's like, once kids come into the picture, you're going to be asking to reschedule. You're going to be asking to do a ton of things. And so as the group sees that you're making your priority, it's like, oh, this is so easy. Like, go and have fun. But those next few points, connect consistently, create shared experiences, have an ownership mentality, and lead out with authenticity. Those are all things that as you commit to the group, you're going, man, I want to be these things with you guys. And so, again, everything that we can do to follow up, not catch up, can be accomplished by just going, man, how could I do these five things and do them really well? This slide just communicates what I said earlier about, man, what does it look like to spend a good bit of time together? Just strive to be involved in each other's lives. And so as you think about it, are there any ways that they can fight to prioritize this commitment? Like, what would that look like as you've seen from your groups in the past?
I think the groups that we've had that they've done it well is they've consistently chosen the group. So if two people call and ask you to do something on a Friday night and one person's a foundation group, like really investing in that time in the beginning so that you're setting yourself up to grow those relationships. And it can be hard to choose the newer friendships or newer relationships, but the blessings are tenfold from like what you get out of just that new relationship, but also what you're putting into your group. So that could look like just like one-on-one time with each couple, like going to dinner or doing group things. We've had lots of interesting activities that people have done together.
Just grow the relationship, spend time together. I think growing your marriage, praying together, informally talking about the sermons or what you're learning spiritually, doing that as a group, talking about what you're learning spiritually at guy times will help just grow everyone together. I don't know that I answered the question, but.
It does, but it, I mean, if y'all think about it, if you're pursuing one another, it communicates that you're prioritizing one another. If you're spending regular time with one another, you're not having to overcome barriers as much. It's like, hey, no, I enjoy spending time with them. And y'all realize it. It's like whoever your closest and best of friends are right now, you fought for that intimacy. And so it's not like it's far-fetched to think these new folks couldn't become a priority, but them becoming a priority requires a commitment. And so as you quote-unquote weigh the cost of like it's a Friday night, who do I want to spend time with, just float it out there and go, hey, I'm going to take the mental effort to pursue these people, and then let's see where this goes because I'm going to pursue them, and ultimately fruit will be bared somewhere.
I think our first group did this thing where like they chose one couple each time, like each Friday night to like go to dinner, and then switched. And like, so at the end of like a month or two, everyone had been on like one-on-one with each couple. Mm-hmm. And we saw that was really helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful for the, like speaking into each other's lives. I mean, cause I think, you know, when you don't know someone, you're not going to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's what we've seen.
So. Oh yeah. The biggest feedback I see is that couples in assessments, they're like, we just don't spend enough time together, and I struggle to trust them. I'm like, oh, man, that's easily overcome. Like, just start spending time with one another and then allow each other to speak into your lives, and that trust will be built. And so what I would say, don't rely on your leaders to foster that intimacy. Whatever you do, go, man, they're here to shepherd and pastor us and invest in us, but they are not responsible for creating the intimacy that should exist within y'all's relationship. So the next one, grow together spiritually and rely on biblical truth. This is frankly a big one, and I think it's a hard learning curve. For most people, it's like, man, I'm growing. I'm being sanctified. Like, I'm being refined, not necessarily by your leaders or your relationships, but that's just what the Lord has allowed to happen within your marriages. And then the folks in your group and your leaders are getting a front row seat to see that sanctification. And so when things do get hard, we were just laughing about this, like community does have its hard aspects, but sometimes we kind of beat a dead horse of like, man, look how hard this is. And it's like, but look how redemptive this is. Like, look at what the Lord is doing that is so good, and he's bearing fruit in each of us. And so as you look at this, go, man, am I ready to grow in this way? Well, part of that is a yes that you may not have given because you're in a covenant marriage. And so it's like, well, I'm for sure committed because I have a refining pot and a furnace next to me being my spouse. And so as the Lord is growing you guys together, go, man, I'm getting to grow with the folks that are now in my circle. And so think about that, being known, being fully loved. How do you guys, or how would you encourage them to grow comfortable in sharing specifically in front of the opposite sex?
I think you just do it.
Any questions?
I mean, we didn't have that experience, so we didn't have singles community before here, so we only knew that. So, I mean, just do it and be let your pride down, especially mm-hmm. men tend to be that way, and let these women that see things from a completely different way speak into our lives and use that God-given ability to mm-hmm. Tell us how we can do better as mm-hmm. husbands, fathers, brothers.
Yeah, I agreed. I think, too, like, remembering how God could be using your story when you share and when you open up and tell the hard, I can guarantee you every time it's happened in a group, someone else maybe is not walking through the same thing, but they have something that they would love to process and walk through, too, but they're just more afraid to share it. And so you're breaking the ice in a lot of different ways. We had one group that the husband did not share for a very long time of a really hard struggle that he was walking through and hid it really well for a while and then no longer could hide it. Mm-hmm. And so that was obviously not done well, but what that group learned from the need for sharing and that even what he was able to see, how everyone was just like, hey, we're here. Like, we want to walk through this with you, not like ashamed of him or like, oh, you're out of the group or like, you know, any of those thoughts, more just like, hey, what can we now do to step in and love you and your wife to get through this season? And so I think just remembering it's not about you. It's about what God's going to use this part of your story for and how other people get to benefit.
And it grows the group dynamic mm-hmm. so much just in that one instant. You instantaneously get closer as a group. And
it's neat to see, like, the different gender, yeah. like, responses. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of times where, like, wives get to speak in and, like, hear, like, other husbands get to hear their, you know, their point of view or vice versa. And that's really good for both husband and wife. Just to have someone else say it in a different way can really help work through some kind of usually ongoing conflicts. I feel like those are helpful.
Yeah, totally. So follow up on that, how can they combat the fear or maybe apprehension to sharing, whether it's something really hard or something really sinful, and not necessarily like within the context of like the whole group, but just in general? It's like, hey, growing and confessing sin, how can they overcome that fear or apprehension?
I think practically we thought through, like, we've had where people will just choose one couple to start with and share. And then when you're meeting with group, you kind of have someone that's there to like help you talk through it or walk through it or already knows the heart. And you've kind of seen that they're not leaving and they're kind of joining with you to join the group. And this is just praying through it and asking for strength that God doesn't want us to live in darkness. Like, he's the light. And once we have him, like, we need to be living in light. And just, I think sometimes you just have to constantly tell yourself over and over until you're doing it.
And you really just have two options. You can do it yourself, or it can come out later and be a lot harder. You can do it in humility, or you don't. Mm-hmm. So okay. I'd do it in humility.
Totally. But it is. I think about growing together spiritually. A lot of that involves confessing how the Lord's refining you, things that you need to bring before the group of like, hey, hold me accountable in this. But then you look at this beautiful back into that statement of rely on biblical truth. Because I think a lot of times what we fail to do when we confess things is it's like, hey, man, thank you so much for sharing. And miss this incredible opportunity to go, hey, but God says that doesn't define you. And so, like, we get to point people to truth and go, hey, yes, that is real, and what you shared is destructive in your marriage or destructive to trust or whatever it may be, but let's talk about what it looks like to move forward as God's people. And I would resonate with what Jesse said. In our old group years ago, one of the guys confessed to an ongoing struggle with pornography that he hid from his wife. And it was amazing to see the responses from the women in the group. Because, I mean, we had just like, this sounds terrible. We had just torn him a new one because it was ongoing. And it was like, bro, when are you going to wake up? Like, you were in a sleepy, sleepy state and don't realize you're destroying your marriage. And then to watch the women of the group not rally around her. They had been rallying around her. But to lean into him, I was like, oh, this is new. Like, this is really sweet. Because you expect the men to do this. But now the women are speaking up, and it's like when they started to engage in the conversation, it was like his eyes got so big of like, oh, there's a problem here. And what they were leaning into on the biblical truth side was like, this is not what God's man does. And like for him to hear that from the other women in the group was very eye-opening, and to Will's point, very humbling to see women going, you're just not being God's man. And praise God, you know, fast forward, whatever, 6 years, that guy's in a much better place, leading his family incredibly well. And so to the humility piece, he received that admonishment, received the correction, and was like, okay, what does it look like for God's man to repent? And so thinking about relying on biblical truth and then growing with the Lord, any specific ways that y'all would encourage them as they seek to pursue the Lord as one flesh and not just as two individuals trying to follow Jesus? How would y'all encourage them?
So we get this question a lot when we start Foundation Groups of like, how? Mm-hmm. And we always feel like everyone wants this like most beautiful, like perfect time, like 8 a.m. in the morning, everyone opens their Bible with coffee. And we just encourage them that the more authentic like conversations of like, what'd you learn from church, like the sermon? Mm-hmm. Or what, like just casually, like while you're cooking dinner, like, hey, I read this morning. This is what I thought of it. Where do you like, what are you getting out of it? So I think just when you can make it part of your daily life and just normal conversation, it takes down this big idea that you're going to have a Bible study with your husband every morning. Because it's just
which
not
you can do.
You can.
You can totally
it's
do
not
that.
Been our reality. Yeah. So I think just taking the pressure off yourself of just starting and just starting to talk about like what you're learning and where you're growing, it just creates a bond between the two of you to continue those conversations.
And if you're on the listening into that, just recognizing like this is their time, it may not be yours, but just tune in, because it's just, it'll be detrimental if you're like, well, I need to get to work or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like work can wait 5-10 minutes, it'll be all right, trust me.
He's not speaking from experience.
That feels a little close to home, Will. Okay, so that the advice you just gave is really sweet to like couples. So how would you encourage them? Is there no, it's two different questions. So that's great for couples. Now, how do they involve one another as a whole? It's like, hey, now how do we as 8 to 10 people grow together with Christ?
I think just sharing what's going on, and when you do, the rest of the group, being intentional and remembering that, not just kind of like, yeah, we'll pray for you right now, but if there's a doctor appointment 2 Tuesdays from now, mm-hmm. like checking in with them then, like, not doing that, I think, can hurt the relationship. Just like any friend, you would do that. So,
and I think if you're sharing like daily what you're learning, like we have one foundation group that was really good. Like the guys texted, one guy texted out like each day, like where he was reading in the Bible, and like whether that's a scripture that he really enjoyed reading or like a topic. And
what guy was teaching him in that?
Yeah, and I think the other guy's response was just to like heard it or like it, like, hey, we acknowledge it wasn't some big ordeal that they then had to respond to, but it allowed, like, it was twofold, like he was having accountability, and one, like, you're getting to read what someone else is learning, and you don't know what God can do with that in your life. So just even simple things like that, or calling and just checking in and say, hey, where are you in the Word? And I think too, like, I don't know if this is part of the question, but like guys and girls can do different books together. We've mm-hmm. done that many times. Like if someone, we had one group, like everyone was walking through a hard season of just like trusting God and who they are. And so like, we did a Jenny Allen Bible study, just the girls. And so just like there's options there, which granted you're reading a lot anyways, but you never know what you can commit to.
Totally. And the last thing I'd tell you on that is when you think about, we shared a little bit about this last week, people are going to be in different parts of their journey with the Lord. And so I remember sitting in an assessment with a group where a guy had come out of Regen, and if you've been through Regen, it's like, you just know how to share all kinds of stuff. It's like anything and everything that's on your heart. And so what was happening is one of the guys who had not been pursuing the Lord as long as this other fella, he was becoming intimidated by basically the amount of stuff that the guy who'd come out of Regen was sharing, and so he just wouldn't share anything. And so they got to have a really healthy conversation of like, hey, I can either be discouraged or intimidated because you're sharing so much, and I just feel like I have one or two nuggets to give. And it's like, oh my gosh, go share them. Like, because when we get to do that, it's mutually encouraging within our circles of believers. And so don't become susceptible to the trap of comparison of like, oh man, that person must be so mature because they're sending so many notes every day. I frankly, I just get so behind on text messages that I love Apple's tap back. I'm like, yes, heart, amen, here we go. Like, I'll read the other 30 pages later, but the first two sentences sounded great. And so if you ever text me and I don't respond, that's fine. But it is, it's so sweet to go, hey, I don't need you to go, man, wow, what a good word. You should be the next pastor at Watermark. But really just going, hey, I saw it, and I love that you're learning. And that is such an easy win to just go, man, I see you. And this is fun to get to follow Jesus with you, and I'm encouraged by what you're learning. Because as you go through dry seasons, you look at Psalm 119:83, David says, even though I've become like wineskins and smoke, I won't depart from your truth. Meaning, even though I'm dry and this is a hard season, I'm still going to read. Y'all are going to switch places in that. And so if you fail to encourage one another because of comparison, we're just operating outside of God's design of mutual encouragement for one another. And so just be excited about getting to grow biblically and grow spiritually and rely on biblical truth, because it is, yes, sanctifying at times, but really sweet. So next one, it's an opportunity to give, not just to get. I think for us as believers, we got to realize we're sinful and we're narcissistic and we want to be nasal gazers all the time. And so it's like, hey, how do I get rid of the mirror and look at what concerns Joey and then go, man, how can I contribute and serve this group? And so for you guys, as you think about it, what, if anything, do you think has prevented groups from consistently serving and encouraging one another?
Selfishness.
A man, a few words. You guys are getting.
I mean, it really is. I mean, if you're only looking inward, you're not going to be able to look outward. I think that's paraphrasing C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes not knowing what to do, like in a practical, like just showing up and just being there. And even if you don't know what to say, don't know what to do, like sometimes they just need someone else there.
Don't overthink it. Just like if someone's hurting or went through something really hard, just show up, bring them dinner. I mean, that can do so much for someone.
Yeah, totally. How many of y'all would like just humbly confess when something happens, maybe it's something hard or even something really good, when you hear the phrase of like, hey, just show up, does that kind of paralyze you a little bit? Or you're like, I don't know what that actually looks like? Or is everybody, nope, we're way ahead of you, Joey. All the best. Because I do. I think a lot of times, and I try not to talk about kids too much, but that one couple has a baby first.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, you're trying to figure out what you're doing because you've never been a parent before, and we don't know how to help you because we're for sure not parents. And so what do we do now? And I think it is, to Will's point, it's like, hey, think about yourself less and then just go, how can we help? Like, we're here. Here's Chick-fil-A, or here's Taco Joint. Like, here's something.
Here's a coffee.
Yeah, here's a coffee or a pack of energy drinks. But it is. It's like sometimes we get paralyzed by we're not going to do the right thing. And so just get rid of that temptation to believe that lie and just go, I'm just going to do something. And so when y'all think about, man, what does it look like to give, not just to receive, I think it just starts with I'm just going to take action. And that could be, man, does everybody want to go bowling tomorrow night? It's like, well, none of us like bowling. It's like, that doesn't mean you did a bad job of initiating. It just means nobody likes bowling. And so you're going to have to bowl by yourself. But the other piece of that is just going, hey, just try something. Just do something. One of our friends who was on staff for a long time used to say this. He goes, simply start and start simple. And it's like, just try and do something if you can. And so for you guys, is there any like specific example that y'all have that comes to mind of like a group rallying around a couple or being able to go, and this is encouraging how to group served one another, that comes to mind?
So our couple, our group that the husband ended up having to go to alcohol rehab.
He went to rehab.
Rehab.
Sorry. So he was gone for a good amount of time.
90 days.
Yeah. And so the wife was obviously home. And so the girls and the husband, like, I think there were several things that like broke in their house in those 90 days. And the guys just showed up to fix it, and which required, I mean, she did have to like let us know these things. And then the girls, like every Friday, were bringing her a meal just to like sit and have dinner with and just kind of break up the days. So
or
like
just go hang out with her.
Yeah.
Or picked her up during the Snowmageddon thing.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
She was by herself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they went and picked her up and she stayed with them. And for a few days.
And I like she came to our house and just played with our kids. Like just whatever it is, just to break up the regular old days. And then we had a miscarriage in one foundation group and they didn't want to come to group. And so this was like on a separate guy girl time. So they just went to them. Like they had said, no, we don't want to do it. But it was more of like, hey, we don't know what to do. I feel very lost. And they just showed up in their living room. Group looked very different that night, but they were all together and were able to pray for her. And even though she said no, like really realizing and which goes back to like knowing your group, like and knowing the people and being committed to them and communicating, like knowing for her, she's saying no, but really she would benefit greatly for them just to show up at the front door and do group there. So I think those were two.
Yeah. And you got to read the room sometimes on the nose.
Like husband shouldn't have gone.
Yeah. It's like sometimes people really mean no. Yeah. And it's like, hey, I don't need anything. And if you show up, you're going to feel awkward. Because you're like, I shouldn't be here right now. this is good. But it is. It's like as you guys are moving towards one another, like, be patient and go, man, I'm just learning this person. Because right now you're learning one another as husband and wife. And like that's a hard enough learning curve. Go, man, how can I learn to give to these other people? And something that I've had a few conversations around is conflict will happen between a couple because they're like, hey, you're much quicker to serve our group than you are with me. And so read the room there as well of like, hey, how am I doing it at prioritizing my spouse before I prioritize this group? Because that's not a red flag, but it is a yellow flag of like, hey, why are you prioritizing serving these people outside of your home when you're not focused inside of your home? And I think it is a sweet thing to go, man, I'm learning them and I want to serve them, but don't get your priorities out of order because that's not going to go well for you at all. And so,
one last thing for that. Okay, we've never had conflict over people that have showed up to serve. We have had conflict over nobody showing up or like reaching out or just being there for people because it hurts to feel like you're living life with these people and nobody shows up when things get hard. So I think just remembering that, like we've done it a while and zero conflict from people just trying.
Yeah, totally. I don't think you'll ever hear somebody going, man, I'm really frustrated with you because you just did that totally wrong by taking initiative to come serve us. It's like, that's just never going to be a conversation. But like we say this often, community's forged, not found. I think that's really aspirational in some capacity. Until you actually start showing up, you won't understand what that statement truly looks like. Because it is, it's hard. I mean, we sat with a group 2 weeks ago where one of the wives just goes, I just wish y'all understood how hard this season is for us. And in tears, she's just like, I need your help, but I don't know how to ask for help. And it was this very like catalyzing moment because the group goes, okay, what can we do? Because they've been afraid to ask what they can do. She's been afraid to ask for help because she doesn't know how she needs help. And so it's just one of those things where I think I encouraged this last week of just start talking. Like you got to communicate. Even if it's like, hey, we've talked for an hour and I still don't understand what my role is. It's like, okay, but at least we've gotten that off of our chest and now we can take some type of action step forward. And so realize that community is forged, not found. Really starts to like become a real thing when you start to communicate with one another and let each other into each other's world. Because to that pastoral scenario that they shared, as he was hiding that sin and then it finally came out, it was like, oh my goodness, this is now when things get better. Like when we actually know what's going on. And so whether it's something really hard or really bad that's going on, or you just need prayer because I don't know, like you've been encouraged, but want to continue to grow. Like people can't show up and can't forge community if you don't let each other into one another's world. And so last one, setting realistic expectations. I would say for y'all, God has a purpose for every one of you in each of these groups. And so he's going to use you to encourage one another, to refine one another, to sharpen one another in ways that you just maybe have not seen yet. And so as y'all think about, man, what is this going to look like? As you think about, man, what expectations do I have? I think discuss that as a married couple and go, man, what expectations do I have for this group? And this goes back to considering it. If your expectations are unhealthy, like, hey, I'm going to be with this group every day, at least somebody from the group every single day, 7 days a week, 365, And it's like, oh man, you may have some very unrealistic expectations. And so that doesn't mean you shouldn't be in the foundation group, but you've got to reorient those and you've got to reconsider those. But if there are unrealistic expectations of like, they're always going to show up for us or they're always going to do X, Y, or Z, it's like, man, you may need to process through some things. Like for Paige and I, that part of our story is like this codependency piece that we just didn't realize was there. And we used always a lot. I thought you would always. And it was like, man, we had to unlearn some of those things. And so it was kind of sweet that we didn't get to go into a foundation group for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months and got to work through some of that and still do. But it was like, oh, those are unrealistic expectations. So we should consider that before I place them on you being in our groups. And so for you guys, how would you say they should be thinking about their expectations? What are things to consider as they're processing going into a foundation group? What are the things that we may not have discussed up to this point in light of expectations that they should be thinking through?
I know. I mean, just really sitting down and writing down what your expectations, just as a married couple, first and foremost, and then as a group discussing what those are and really trying to, it's hard because future things like kids or jobs, you just, or distance apart, you just don't know until you know, but just trying to be realistic in your thinking on those and know that, and being able to adapt as well, because kids are going to change things. Dogs will change things.
Dog parents, that's harder than being a real parent. I'm fully convinced.
If anyone wants a dog, come to me afterwards. Just kidding about the dog. But I know. Look. But just having a real conversation about that, I think that can be very beneficial from the get-go, because a lot of times that real conversation doesn't happen until 6 months down the road, and then it's kind of conflict over so-and-so wants 10 points of contact a week, whereas mm-hmm. Johnny Utah only wants 2. So mm-hmm.
It's because he lives in Utah.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a long drive.
Thinking about just any final encouragement for them as they're trying to consider – man, what expectations to hold on to, considering committing to a group? Like, are they ready? Things to think through.
I think just remembering expectations can change, like, as you grow, like Will said. And then remembering that people are more important than expectations. So, like, if your relationships with them are growing and thriving, then usually your expectations are going to be being met too. And so I think if you're doing the communication and you're pursuing each other relationally as you're pursuing Christ, then expectations usually follow. It's usually when one of those are wrong, then expectations are just crumbling too. So I think that relational piece is just huge when you're thinking through, like, the time that I have to offer to foundation group.
And just remembering what the point is to grow more like Christ through this group. Mm-hmm. That is the main goal, the most important goal. And
it's a group full of sinners,
and
too.
Yeah. Everyone in the group is a sinner, including your spouse, especially your spouse, right? No, I'm just kidding. but we all are.
Cool.
It's also ministry on Wednesday night. It's called Reengage. That Will and Jesse will be participating.
But yeah, that was a good point.
Which is so good. I mean, I think all of this boils down to, like, man, how can I model Christ? And how can I, as I commit to this, am I living out Philippians 2? And am I not merely only seeking out my own interests, but also the interests of others? I think the way that that's written is on purpose, because God, through Paul, places an emphasis on, hey, take care of you and your household, and then also take care of the rest of the church. And so as you think about jumping into this group, go, hey, have I considered how much of a priority my own house is? And then am I ready to give to somebody else's house as well? And if you're not, it's okay to say no. Like, we have people that go to different kickoffs all the time where we're like, hey, come back in February. That makes so much sense. It's all good. No hurt feelings. Let us know how we can help you and encourage you in the meantime. But as you've heard them talk about it, it's like, it's really sweet to go, man, this is going to be fun. Yeah, there will be hard parts, but if you can go into it with two expectations, well, three really, I want to grow to be more like Christ in this. I know that this group is full of sinners and they're going to grow just like I am, and then I can come in excited to give them as God has given to me. Your group's going to go exceedingly well. And so just be excited in that way. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you about 15 or 20 minutes to talk through these questions. And this is just kind of like walking back through what we just talked about on stage. But before y'all go to table time, will y'all give a hand for Will and Jesse Buck? Thank y'all.